All right, let me just read the portion of the scriptures today, and then Colossians chapter 1. We're going to have a school of prayer. Well, we're going to pray today. It said, Paul was describing what he has experienced for the church's sake. He said, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body." That's verse 24. "Which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's affliction. Now he said, I'm doing all of this that I may carry out the preaching of the word." That's verse 25. He now said, "What am I preaching?" Verse 26. "The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints." That is, those who are in Christ, those who are his holy ones, those who are his called out ones. Those are the people he called his saints. He said, "To them, God wills to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And that mystery is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I said something last time. Let me just review it for a few moments. Then we'll get up. We'll stand on our feet and then begin to make our prayers according to these revelations. We explained last time that the word Christ is not just a name. Just like if you go into a hospital, you find a nurse, you find a doctor, you find different professionals working in there. You can get there, and in fact, if you've been to a ward, you hear matron, staff, sister, you hear those names, doc, everybody. The person who's is staff now is not staff. The next one who's staff, you have 20 staff nurses. That's what I mean by staff, all right? What they mean is that you're a nurse. That's not the name your father gave you. It is a function you are performing in that institution. Doc, you get to a hospital like mine where there are more than, I don't know how many hundreds of doctors there. So if you can stand in front of the hospital, you're hearing doc, all right? And they'll all be quacking as they are passing. That's a joke, all right? All I'm just going to say is that there are many doctors. That's not their name. That's the function they perform, all right? So that's what I mean by offices. People occupy offices in life. If you call me a pastor, you call me teacher, that's not my name. That's the office I occupy. In the same manner, Christ is not a name in that form, like you have Jesus. It's an office he occupies. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that's why you have Christ Jesus. That is, the Christ we are talking about is the man Jesus. Are you getting my point? All right. But what does Christ mean? I said it's just beyond, it goes far beyond an office. All right. It's a whole concept. It's everything that God ever thought of for good for mankind. That's what that word Christ means. Christ means that everything you can, everything God wants to give you, but which you cannot achieve by your own strength. What we call grace, that's what Christ means, all right? Grace is found only in Christ Jesus. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth, are you getting my point? They are found in Christ Jesus. Are you getting me? So when you use the word grace, you are talking about the manifestation of Christ. So everything that God ever wanted to give you, but which you cannot achieve by your own strength, all right, is found in Christ Jesus. Are you getting me? I explained last time that Job tried. Job worked very hard, all right? He used a lot of striving. But there were places he needed to get to, which he had not gotten to. Therefore, God called Satan and said, "Have you considered my servant Job, that amongst man, all right, all the men on the earth, there's none like him?" But I'm adding my own words now, but that was what the Lord had in mind. But he has not yet gotten to the place where I really want him to get to. And the way he's going about life, the kind of trust he has in his own works, he can never get to that place. The kind of confidence he has in the things that he can do, he can never get to that place. So I have to show him the frailty of flesh. No matter how good it is still flesh. Are you getting me? So when we want to go beyond that which Job ever experienced, are you getting me? We step into a totally different realm. And that realm, again, is called what? Christ. That's what I'm trying to say. Every good thing that God wants to bring into your life, which he planned, all the good plans he had for mankind, everything is summarized in that word, Christ. Let me just emphasize to us again. That's why, you see, I told you this before, faith, eh? Faith is not just I stand up, I need something, I close my eyes, I begin to, I'm not going to agree. That's stubbornness. That's not, do you understand my point? That's not faith at all. And I have made up my mind, this is what I want. It's not giddy. Are you following my point? Faith is just what you believe, which you walk by all the time. That's the reason why I'm saying that. Sometimes when you see Christians, when they say that if you want to prosper, you have to get a Jew on your board. They don't know Christ. That's what I'm trying to explain. They can come tomorrow in church and be shouting, faith, faith. They have not discovered Christ. Because if you understand that in Christ, there's no Jew or Gentile. Are you getting my point? So if your business is in Christ, it doesn't know who's Jew, who's not Gentile. What it just knows is faith in Christ Jesus. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? So it's not just people live lives of unbelief and then they want to come and use a giddy when they are praying and say it is faith. No, we don't go great. God must do it today, today. If he does not do it, he's not going anywhere. Tomorrow. And they say that we held on to God in faith and they didn't do anything. The truth is that they were not walking in faith. They were walking in a giddy. They were walking in a boju. What's a boju? Bold face, you know, gra. Real faith, it affects how you breathe. Are you getting my point? It affects what you say when the bee stings you. That is faith. So when you walk in faith continually, you don't have to use oboju in the time of prayer. It just flows out naturally. What am I saying? When we don't demonstrate our faith, all right, in that concept, Christ, all right, we cannot come to the place of prayer and start making demands. And again, we preachers, we often preach to Christians to walk outside Christ. Say, hey, you don't need Christ. You need your strength. You don't need Christ. You know, how do we do it? That's what we say. We don't use those words, but this is how we say it. You say, when you want to pray, you remind God of all the good works you have done for him. That's it. You have told them, walk out of Christ in the time of prayer. Come before him. Come before him and say, I'm not like that man. I'm not like that man. Look at all the money I have given. They say, keep your check stub so that when you want to pray, if you have any of those check stubs, go and burn it. If you don't burn it, if you don't throw it away, you will never make money in life. I'm warning you. You know why? When you start praying, those are the things that are the hindrances, all right, to stepping into Christ Jesus. Paul said that, I wanted to know him, not having a righteousness of my own. It's an effort, though. It's work that you go there and deliberately refuse that, no, I'm not going to think of any good thing I've ever done for him. Do you get my point? Like we said last time, we make our boast, all right? If I listen to this message, we're not there, then please, just try and get that tape. I'm just trying to remind us what we said, so we can use that in prayer today. We make our boast only in what we have become in Christ Jesus. Do you get my point? It's important. We make our boast, how? Only in what God has made us to be in Christ Jesus. And that's what I want to confess again today. All right? Because, look, listen. It's vast. I believe we start studying it now, till next year, next 50 years, next 100 years, we will not even have gone beyond scratching the surface. And I mean it. Because how can you study in 100 years what God planned for thousands of years and beyond that? You get what I'm saying? It's vast. Your very existence, God planned it in Christ. Do you get my point? Every good thing about your life. And notice, let me quickly say it again. In Christ means beyond your works. In Christ means beyond your ability. In Christ means beyond your background. In Christ means beyond your own ability to imagine. In Christ means beyond every natural advantage that you have. In Christ means beyond every natural disadvantages that you have. So, if we discover Christ and walk like we are in him, then we make all the predictions of natural sight, natural thinking, natural men. We confound all their predictions. Do you follow the point I'm making? Do you follow the point I'm making? He said, if the body be subject to death because of sin, let me explain. Sin does not just mean that a man committed, you know what we call iniquity. There are all kinds of sins. If you don't eat well, you know it's sin. Yes. If you eat too much, it's sin. Now, there are all kinds of sins. Eating what you're not supposed to eat, that's it. But the Bible says, even though the subject is the body is subject to death because of sin, yet, are you getting my point? The spirit would give it life because of righteousness. And listen, it's only in Christ Jesus that righteousness is revealed. Do you get my point? Listen, as believers, we want to think. That's how we think. That's how we think. And that's why, you know, once I went to preach somewhere, this was the illustration I gave them. They were young people on Anglican youth program. I said, if you see a man, maybe you're a young boy, you're 14, 15, 16, and you see a man pass, he's driving with very nice, I mean, the car is so nice, it tells you of the amount of money he has, you know, that kind of thing. And then you see his children with him. And, you know, unconsciously you look at them. Okay, and you, of course, you came down from your keke napep, all right? It's not yours. You paid for that trip. It's not even your own. So unconsciously you look and just say, ah, those boys are lucky. Are you getting my point? The truth is that you have not yet discovered Christ and you are not walking in the consciousness. Because if you have discovered him, you will understand that there's no luck. I don't know what I get. They are just sitting in a... But they are missing the heat of the environment that... Yeah, they are missing something. You may not know what, but they are missing something. It doesn't mean that you are not missing something too, all right? But you are missing something just as much as they are missing something. But as per where you will get to in life, that car, that napep does not in any way predict. You know, I remember I gave an illustration when I was in Luther. I was preaching that day, I had a doctor's fellowship. I said, when we enter university those days, you know some boys who are totally antichrist. You know, they're antichrist. Let me explain what I mean. Because they came from King's College, all right? And they enter university. You know, children are totally antichrist. Foolishness is bound in the heart of young people. They will come to school and be asking you, which school did you go to? They want to know whether you went to Queen's College or King's College, or Loyola in Ibadan. You know those high-tech school of those days? The morons didn't ask them, say, where are all of us now? I don't know what I get my point. We're all sitting in the same class, and you're asking me where I came from. Do you get what I'm saying? They don't even think about it. That's okay, you came from King's College, you came from Servant College, you came from Slave College, Daniel College, Shadrach College, whatever. Where are all of us now? We're in the same classroom in the University of Benin, studying the same course. But the point I now made is I said, okay, no matter where you went to, did not go to, I said, hey, listen, everybody, listen, where are we now? We're in the same class. Then when I was giving the tuition in Lagos, I said, we're all in the same building. Who your grandfather is makes no difference. We're in the same building, doing the same job, and the same salary. What am I saying? That's how it is in Christ Jesus. If you have that awareness, that young man seeing those young boys sitting with their expensive father in his expensive car, he will just look and say, you know, there's something that God gave me that grace for. I can look at a very nice car, admire it very well, and that's where it stops. He said, would you like to have one? I said, no, I don't like it. He said, why? I said, the car is too short. Yeah. He said, ah, Pastor, that car is 50 million naira. I said, that's why I don't like it. How can I pay 50 million naira for a car that's that small? If I'm paying 50 million naira, the car... Yeah, you know, sports cars, that's the way they are. That's just where. So, if you're aware of that, you'll be able to look at like past comments and not be moved. It doesn't tell you anything about where you can't get to or what God can't do in you. It doesn't tell you anything like that. Do you get my point? That's what we mean. I'm not putting that message again. If you're not here then, please get the CD. Only in Christ. What we want to do today is to make our boast, all right, in Christ. God didn't say people shouldn't boast to. In fact, you must boast. The first person you boast for is your mirror. You look inside that mirror and talk to it. Say, fine boy, look here. You understand my point? Yes. You must. In life, you must. You must have, you know, the thing that people feel about you, eh? You know, I mean, just to give you a little illustration, that these two guys I know. Now, if you know clothes, you know this guy wears very nice clothes. But the other guy doesn't wear as nice clothes as the other. But without looking in details, the other guy with the cheaper clothes, he looks richer. He has the carriage of a big man. You get my point? Yes. So I use that to point things out to my wife. I say, this is these two guys. This guy spends a huge amount of money wearing clothes. The other guy doesn't have to. Listen to this. I say, he has a body of clothes. That is his body. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm just an illustration. This is the way life is. What people feel about you first, is what you have come to perceive about yourself. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Yes. You know, the children of Israel, they entered into the promised land. You know what they said? Oh, God. We were like grasshoppers in their eyes. How do we know? That was how we were in our own eyes. I think we saw it, we understood. He said, we are like grasshoppers before them. He said, so are we in their eyes. How did you know? Did you have a discussion with them? Did they sit you down and say, look at grasshoppers, grasshoppers? If they thought so, they would have killed you. They knew you were spies. You just assume, because you look at them and say, grasshoppers, that's what we are. He said, can't you hear him? Did you hear his mouth move? That's how Philistines pronounce grasshopper. The man actually said grasshopper, but he wanted to hunt the one he wanted to eat, you know? The real grasshopper, he thought he was referring to you. No, just by the way, once I was reading C.H. Spurgeon was describing the story of how a man perceives himself. So one day, one man, this is the story, was talking to his neighbor. He said, this is my mule, you know, his animal. Now, this mule is stubborn, dirty. Describe the mule, abuse the animal very well. Somebody else was hearing. After they don't describe the mule finish, he came and said, be talking about me. I know I'm the look when I come to take my vengeance. The man looked like, I'm talking about my Malu. What's he concerning you? But because the man said, yes, I'm stupid, I'm stubborn, I'm dirty. So once he heard the word stupid, stubborn, dirty, he said, hey, decided again, they're abusing me. Meanwhile, the man really was talking about his animal. The man once asked him, how come you don't preach? I said, ah, leave them. It's because I've not yet bought my car. When I buy my car, meanwhile, the reason, in fact, from hearing that story, you know why they don't let him preach. He looked and said, the reason why they don't let me preach is I not get motor. That's how you feel. And I've been preaching for a long time. If you have words in your mouth, they will let you preach. Do you get my point? What am I saying? The first person you preach to is who? Yourself. And just by the way, I don't want to preach, I just want to say this. If you ever go for a job interview looking like you are begging for a job, you won't get it. Please, sir. Good morning, sir. My father is at home and he's sick. Please, sir. My younger ones are in university. They need my assistance seriously in that family, sir. I need this job badly. The man will give you an offering. You can go give to your brother in school. Amen. He's not giving you a job. He's not going to give you a job. Go with a beggar's attitude. Stand in front of the embassy official who wants to interview you. He can see it's coming out of your spirit. My God is America. My God is America. He won't give you a visa. But if you enter the place for the interview, confident that you're a blessing. As you're entering the place, you've looked at, if I work here, these are the kind of things we can do here. We can help them patch this up. I don't know. Why are their reception staff behaving like this? They should talk differently to people. Already thinking like that. So during the interview, just we go to that area. It will. God will lead this in that area. By the time you tell them one, two, three things, they're supposed to have done. Can we find a man as wise and as this one is? Give him a job and let's test him out. No, that's just life for you. That's life for you. It's how you perceive yourself first. It radiates. So, I've been saying it. People say, you go and borrow a nice suit, wear a nice tie. Yeah. Listen, a useless spirit will sneak out of that nice suit and nice tie and be manifesting itself. You've heard the gist before of the slave that followed the master somewhere. And the master dressed him very nicely and told the master, please, when I get there, don't tell them I'm a slave. And the man said, why should I tell them? I mean, you're a nice guy. Let's go. They reach there. Everybody sit down on table. Eat to sit down. Eat food now. The guy not reach up. The one will fall down. He grab and put down for mouth. No matter what he dressed like. You understand my point? Uh-huh. You follow what I'm saying? So what you need to do first, all right, is liberate yourself in front of the mirror. Amen? Liberate yourself in front of the mirror. I'm liberated. So nobody tells me how to dress. I tell them how to dress. Yes. I wear what I like. Amen? They tell me, don't wear socks on native. I say, that's your problem. I wear it. So I cannot wear sandals. I say, wait, it's because you are not rich yet. When you are rich, look, one day TDJs blow one bullet. He said, if he went to any other mountain, and everybody said, whoo, it's TDJs. No matter how bad the English is, it's TDJs that spoke it. It becomes normal grammar. Bishop Oyedepo, You know what he calls poverty? Poverty. And see pastors shouting, poverty, poverty, poverty. Bishop Oyedepo calls it wrong pronunciation. He's one of those people that cannot pronounce what they call consonant clusters. Yes, you know, if you those who do phonetics, you know, STR is three consonants, one after the other. It's quite tricky for the tongue. Some people can't pronounce it. So instead of saying strong, they say strong. Yes. They know the pronunciation. They know the spelling. But their tongue can't, you know, can't take those clusters. So they said they have a problem with pronouncing what they call consonant clusters. So here, Bishop Oyedepo was saying, the word came to me so strong. And I knew poverty was dead. This is the point I'm making. Forget all of that. In prayer, men are using it in prayer. God, your words will come to me strong today. And the man doesn't have any problem with pronouncing consonant clusters. But because Bishop Oyedepo was strong, and strong, therefore that must be the godly way to pronounce it. I've heard men share words with me on poverty. In life, that's what you need. You know this one of it. It's not how, look, listen. If your spirit is strong, are you getting my point? When you come out, you blow bullets, it will produce millions. I'm telling you. You know Dizzy Gillespie? How many of you know of Dizzy Gillespie? Okay, it was Dizzy Gillespie. It was I think it's late now, yes. You know, a jazz artist, a trumpeter. His trumpet had this characteristic bend. The thing, you know, it's not straight. It's bent to the sky. It became his trademark. Anytime you see a man with his trumpet bent like that, his name is Dizzy Gillespie. You know how he bent? One day he wanted to play, I think, at his sister's wedding. He put the trumpet somewhere, somebody sat on it. And there was no time to get another one. So he ran down and played a bent trumpet. But because the man knew how to play, are you getting my point? Nobody knows that the trumpet was bent. He played so well, it became all the trumpets he used after then. They now manufacture them bent. So all the stories we've been telling, the reason why I don't have a good job, why I don't have money is because of this. You are fooling yourself. Your spirit is not strong. When your spirit becomes strong, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So we must make our boast, that's what I'm saying. First to ourselves until we are confident. And then it radiates when you talk to people. It radiates. I told you when I first met my wife, that she said, one of the first problems she had with me, I said, this guy is just, if I wanted, she had to tell me that you're too full of yourself. And you know that, oh God, I'm regaining my spirituality, amen? That time I was very spiritual. Now, carnality has set in a bit. Man is too busy. I'm rearranging, hallelujah. So I didn't vex so. I went home to go and think about it. After I finished analyzing it, I came back and I said, that thing you said yesterday, I've heard it. I want to let you know it's not true. I am full of God. I will even quote John G. Lake for you. John G. Lake said, it's not possible to have a walk with God and not brag about it. If you don't brag about it, you don't have it. Ah! He said, if you have power with God, you will brag about it. And like I always used to say, Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Was he boasting? Anyhow, if you are the bread, you are the bread. Are you getting my point? I mean, it's not about if I Bishop, are you an architect? He said, by the will of God, sir, we thank God. There's nothing like that. If you're an architect, you say, yes, any problem? Is that not the next thing you say? Yes, any problem? Is your building collapsing? What is the problem? Are they cheating you out of construction? Let me know. You understand? Because you are aware. Are you getting my point? Yes. So when you are full of it yourself, you go out and tell people. That is why. I told you once, I was sitting that was at the Dubai International. One, you know, don't mind me. I can have, you know, there's a way I behave sometimes. Maybe the guy's a big chief in UAE, I don't know. He looked at me, maybe where I was sitting, people were not supposed to, so he did like this, I should come. And I looked at him, I didn't answer. I didn't care that I was in his country. I didn't answer him. You're not talking to me. You're not getting respect for in our village. He was older than me, but God forbid, but because he was Arab, and I had this bad feeling that, you know, maybe it's my problem, all right? But because I just said,
You think because you are rich, all money, we came to use your airport, you call me like this. And not say, where I come from, nobody calls me like this. So I said, I did not answer him. No, no, it's just my, I don't know, it's just me, formed by the word of God, amen? Yes. It's not pride, it's what I know. I just been yanking your hand at me. Who you be? You smoke? The Lord is good. The Lord is good. If I respect any man in life, it's because he's worthy of respect. You know, like, if I go to a place, I see an old man. That's why, God has helped me with it. If I see an elderly person, no matter how poor he is, I show him respect. If you are rich, you will not command respect from me because you have money. If you look very rich, but I suspect I'm older than you. Oh, worry. Your world just disappears. If you stand, I say I will stand in front of you, eh? What did they find? You miss road. You will behave yourself immediately. They come to you to beg for money. That's why, as a pastor, don't let any politician that comes to your church and say, yes, sir. Yes, kind of around nonsense, because he has money. If you're a man of God, I will do you, yes, sir. If you bless me with the word of God, that's why I go prostrate. If you walk out with money, say, go and sit down there, my friend. Are you a preacher? Yes, not begging you for money. So you can't say, hey, I don't go come back. I don't come back. I have the word of life. Go where you are going. You are looking for trouble. They will soon defeat you in a Jega organized PDP election. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I'm not supposed to preach there. We're supposed to pray. Amen. I'm just telling you why you should be confident and make your boast in the Lord. Are you getting my point? Yes, we must. We must. We must. Please, please. You're not inferior to anybody on this earth. Whether you have money or not is besides the point. Don't go to Europe tomorrow and you see a white man. Some of them can't speak good English. I hope you know that. A lot of half illiterates. White skin is not equivalent to good English. Good learning is if you read the book. If you did not read the book, whoever gave birth to you, whether he's yellow, purple, green, orange, no white, makes no difference. You know, go no book. Anywhere I go, hey, and so I go raise my shoulder, I go stand straight like this. Vex, yes, I like it like that. Make you vex. If half of American blacks are like me, I will not even admit you are discriminating against me because you don't have the power. If you are discriminating, it's because I don't have the thing that you need. When I have it, you will come there. You know, they see as big men, they go village, go see Dibia. You never see them. You don't know big men, they go for longo for night. And the man said, remove his cap, remove your shoe, remove your shirt, remove your trousers, remove your pata. The guy, because the man, he wants to, he tell you, lie down there inside the mud. We are low, twice to this side, three to that. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. You are not inferior to anybody. That's what I'm trying to say. You are not. Life is in phases, men are in sizes. You may not have reached the size of the other guy. Doesn't mean you are inferior to him. Do you get my point? You are not. You are not. In Christ Jesus, you are not. In Christ Jesus, you are not. And young men, please, woman must never take you to Shakara. If you phone a woman three times, she does not call you back once. Don't call again. That nonsense. No, say phone, they're expensive. Call you three times. If not credit, you don't get, tell me, why are you credit? But say, man, you don't go call me, I know, call you again. Yes, guys. Now they hear so. Now they hear so. And you women, if somebody call you two times, be like, hey, call back. What's your problem? You and me, yeah, this is just to spend 200 naira. All the calls are free after. The Lord is good. You see, hey, as a single man, hey, please, I suppose, let me just finish what I'm saying, all right? That is, somebody was telling me that, in the Persian woman. So, you understand what I'm saying? Hey, he wants to marry. The woman was saying that, there's this guy who that said she's trying to, she's trying to decide. A man was asking for counseling. And say, what should he do? What should he do? You decrease. What should you do? A woman lets you know that she's considering you or somebody else. You should have enough sense to know that the answer is no. And if it is yes, you don't want the yes again. What kind of nonsense is that? that's my principle. That's my principle. If you don't like me, don't marry me. Yeah, exactly. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. I'm telling you, the Lord is good. I said, when I first met my wife, she just said, which kind of human being is this one? It's not my fault. For years, I had practiced this fullness of Christ. I'm not a beggar in life. I was so sure of it. I'm not a beggar in life. I'm not a beggar. You see, those are the things I carried into ministry. It's so difficult. Hey, one day, a woman sent a mail. One of us started on TV that time, on radio. So our website was up. So people, we sent feedbacks and all of that. He sent us a mail that, he has friends in Pakistan. No, he has some European friends who are interested in sponsoring evangelism in Africa. So I deleted the mail. That was my response. You have friends who want to sponsor evangelism in Africa. That's your problem. Delete. Thank you very much. I'm serious. That was my response. If your friends want to sponsor evangelism in Africa, how does that concern me? If they want to sponsor the work we are doing, they should write, don't tell me stories. Ask for our account number and send us money. As for me to now reply, say, we thank God, we'll be praying for them so that God will help them. You know, every day I see that on TV. Oh, praise God. This girl, praise God. This work is a work of God. As you begin to sow into it, God will be giving you plenty in abundance. I say, Pastor, this is a lie. You know you want money. Why don't you just say, guys, I beg. We want that. They choke for here. Just send us something before your guys choke. And just be pretending. Say, you know, I was watching a new one yesterday. I would just say, hey, oh, boys, no be so. My own, eh? Hey. The begging mentality, God winned it from my brain long ago. I am a winner. If you get my point? It's one of the first songs I learned. I'm a winner, not a loser. I learned it long ago. I'm the head and not the tail. That's what Christ has made me. If he can't pay for his own work of ministry, I won't become a beggar because of him. No. One of the people that affected me those days was Bishop Oyedepo. So he went abroad once. And the white man looked at him and said, oh, I was so blessed by today's message, Brother David. What needs do you have in your ministry? He said, he looked at him and said, because I'll be African man. I can shake. He looked at him and said, our ministry has no needs. We are not a needing ministry, we're a giving ministry. We meet other people's needs. If you have needs, tell me. He was embarrassed. Because every black man will have come and say, oh, God bless you. So you see a white man, you say, second in command to God, or Koresa. Because the guy is white. Those are the reasons why I love Bishop Oyedepo. The point I'm making is that when you are, listen, this thing eventually translates, your environment will reflect it. Are you getting my point? Yes, it will. It will respond to that strong spirit that's coming from inside you. That's what the Bible calls glory. Now, this is not pride. You know what real pride is? Let me quickly tell you what pride is. Pride is when a man starts ascribing to himself the glory that belongs to God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me explain what I'm saying. I've seen it before. He said, don't mind. He said, those days we were the children of the men in the main house. I'm talking to, a highly educated person. That don't mind these politicians. These are the children of boys' quarters. And in my mind, I said, that's why they are the rulers. And you are here begging them for salary. That's pride. And the person thought I understood because, you know, we are colleagues. And I said, these politicians. We lived in the main house. Their fathers and their mothers lived in the small rooms around. And they were our servants. They didn't go to school. Now, they are the politicians, they are the legislators. That is original what? Pride. You think you're better than him because your father was educated and was rich and his own father was your driver, your father's driver. That is pride. You think you deserve more in life because of what your natural lineage dictates. That is pride. When you think you will succeed in life because of what you have, that is pride. When you think that you have achieved in life because of the effort you put inside, that is pride. That was what killed Nebuchadnezzar. He says, this is not Babylon the Great, which I built with the strength of my might and for the glory of my majesty. God said, mistake. mistake. Slap him. You get my point? And slap him one more time. That means slap him three times. His brain turned upside down. It became crazy. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is pride. That is what pride is. But you know what pride is not? This is not what pride is. They asked David, why are you dancing so much? He said, I am the king, I know, but it's not my fault. They said, look at my king. My lord just naked himself like this in front of all these small girls. He said, I know I'm the king. I'm used to it. But it's not my fault. It is God who, though I was small, in the eyes of everybody, he made me king in replacement for your father. It's because of that God I'm dancing. I know I'm still king. There's no doubt about it. He knew he was king. He's not saying, no, I'm just your humble servant. No, I'm the king. But I didn't become king because I struggled. I didn't become king because of my strength. I became king because God made me, even though I was small. So if a man brags, no matter the bragging, as long as the bragging, are you getting my point? Is just because of what God has made him in Christ Jesus and is ascribing that glory to God. It's not boasting. No. If it is boasting, it's good boasting. Because God made it very clear, it is okay to boast. It's what the person is boasting in that's the problem. Jeremiah 9, he said, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boast of this. They can boast. They can boast. It's what they boast of. They are boasting, he said, let them boast of their knowledge of me. Let them boast that they know that I'm the one that exercises loving kindness. If they say, are you a billionaire today? It's not that, no, we're just trying. No, yes, we are billionaires, hallelujah. We thank the Lord. Our investments in Africa alone is valued at 3.5 billion naira. The one in Europe is 6 billion. I just say, no, you're a tough man. No, it's not like we are tough. It's the Lord. It is the Lord. You know, he closed this guy down. He opened the door for us. Closed the other people down. We are here by his grace. Yeah, we are billionaires. We are not denying it. We are just saying it's not because of our strength. It's because the Lord exercised loving kindness, justice, and righteousness towards us. That's what I'm talking about. All of these things is what is called what? Christ. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
If you are in Christ Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
Yes. If you have been redeemed, say amen.
Amen.
Now you understand. When you say you are in Christ, that's what it means. It's not that I go to church. I've been warning you. This church going thing, let it not give you any special confidence. God knows the mark register for them. Say, Lord, you know I've been sick for 2 weeks. I've gone to church now for 8 weeks, so you will heal me now. Calculate. 8 weeks attendance, how far? That's our reason, Christianity. We say, Lord, my friend who had a sickness last year, the doctors charged him 200,000. I am going to give you 500. And you go deliver fast. Because you are Jehovah, the Lord that heals for only 500,000. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. That is pride. If you think you can buy anything from God, that is pride. That is pride. That is pride. If you start thinking that because I went to church, because of the, no, that's pride. But if you realize that it's because he exercises loving kindness, mercy, that's what it means, justice and righteousness. For that reason, you plead for his mercy. And whatever he gives to you, you accept it as a manifestation of Christ. Because God's mercy is part of it. It's encapsulated in that word, Christ. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That's why we make our boast in who? In Christ. We make our boast in Christ. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's rise to our feet, therefore. Now, I wrote a few things down which I just want us to use to make our boasts in Christ Jesus. I try to take them step by step. First of all, we want to make some confessions, all right, of what we are in Christ Jesus. Now, there's forgiveness of sin in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, let's give the Lord. Say, Father, I thank you.
Because in Christ Jesus,
my sins are forgiven.
I
don't want to preach on that now, but I believe you know a lot about it. Because sin, what is sin? I want to give one definition to it. Is that poison that destroys the ability to do well. That's what sin is. So when you talk about the forgiveness of sin, what you are saying is that the power, the sting of death has been removed. The ability of the devil to keep you down has been removed. That's the meaning of the word sin.
without the forgiveness of sin, Satan will be able to accuse before the presence of the Father. The forgiveness of sin is that which the Lord does so as to prevent, all right? That is what the Lord does so as to prevent Satan from having the accusing power in his presence. Once your sins are forgiven, then Satan's mouth is shut. So let's thank him. He said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because in Christ I have forgiveness of sin. Because in Christ I have forgiveness of sin. The Bible says that Ephesians chapter 2, he said, when we're dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. He said, by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is, sin keeps us down, but the righteousness, which is the forgiveness, the product of forgiveness, has found only in Christ Jesus, all right, has removed us from the place where sin kept us and has allowed us to come up with Christ Jesus. And now we are seated with him in heavenly places. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Now, that's not what I want to say. I want to take first of all. We'll talk about that later. But something came to my mind as I was coming, and I said, let me talk briefly about the heritage of sin. It's very important what I want to say. Actually, something cooperated with bringing this thought to my mind this afternoon. I was discussing one woman in my office. I narrated one experience I had recently, all right? And she narrated something similar that happened in our home. And I realized something. I don't want to give details now. That, you know, one way by which, you know, you heard of generational curses?
Yes.
If you heard of it, say amen.
Yes.
You've heard me preach before that they are real, you know, for those who they can affect. We don't wish them away, all right? What we do is that we apply the faith. In fact, later I'll talk, if you're on our mailing group, you get our mail shortly on the blood of Jesus. That's actually what we apply. Blood of Jesus after is not for your enemies. It's against those things like generational curses. And this is how we apply it. The curses only have effect when we, especially as believers, because automatically when you give your life to Christ, you are redeemed. But, you know, Satan is a tempter. You gave your life to Christ, he will still tempt you. He tempted Jesus himself. How much more you that gave your life to him? The person you gave your life to was tempted. What about you that gave your life? Do you get what I'm saying? So what he does is that, hey, if it is poverty that is the generational curse, what he does is that he starts tempting you so that you will do the works that produce poverty while trying to run away from poverty. I told you the wise saying I heard on one of my children's cartoons the other day. He said, I had a vision. The old sage was telling one of his students, I had a vision. Tyrone came back. The guy said, what? He didn't even hear further. He sent his messenger, go to the prison. Double the guards, double this, double the security, double. As he was running, the old man said, men often meet their destinies on the path they take to avoid them. That is, the path they choose to avoid their destinies, often the place where they meet it. It happens to people, therefore, Satan knows, and this is the generational curse. So as to break that generational curse, the man starts taking some actions. And those are the very actions Satan was hoping he would take so that he can have the accusing power to keep him in that bondage. So, he tempts people to sin. That's the summary. He does. That's what he does. He tempts people to walk in iniquity. And especially if somebody comes from an area where he has that, what they call those generational curses, he starts walking in that area so as to make sure this man doesn't break out from it. Not because he's not delivered. He's delivered if he's a believer. Now, he does whether you're a believer or not. But especially when he's a believer, he has to take your eyes away from Christ. Are you getting my point? And focus on your problems. And when you are focused on your problems, you walk into sin. And once you walk into sin, you are back in bondage. Therefore, now what I've told you, I don't have time to analyze it more than that. Therefore, it is vital that as believers, we in Christ, because we use, you know, he said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of their testimony. We cooperate with our words with that blood of the Lamb to overcome. So before we start talking about, hey, in Christ Jesus I'm healed, in Christ Jesus I'm an overcomer, in Christ Jesus, no, first, let us talk about righteousness in Christ Jesus.
is important. That I walk above the temptations of the devil because of Christ Jesus. And let me say something to you. Charles Finney explained this. That the sin of Adam, let me summarize, you know, I can't remember the exact words he used now, but I remember the concept. He said the sin of Adam made temptation more tempting for his descendants. Charles Finney never believed that people are born and they have no choice but to sin. He says the sin inherited from Adam, he doesn't believe it. He said, look, Adam sinned, he died. If you sin, you will die. Do you understand? That's his own theory, all right? That's what he believed, and I have reasons to agree with him. But what he said, what's the effect of Adam's sin? He said he has made the temptation stronger for his descendants. Are you getting my point? And listen, without the power of Christ Jesus, this is what point I'm coming to, you will not be able to withstand the temptations of the devil. You won't be able to. You won't. That's the only reason it can keep people in bondage from one generation to another. And listen, if the curse of God is upon people, let me summarize like this. It's hard to fight that temptation. You know Rehoboam? Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Solomon sinned, introduced a powerful problem into the family. And Rehoboam, when they say make a decision, he made a decision that confirmed the prophecy that Ahijah or Abijah gave to Jeroboam. Why? Because Rehoboam is stupid? No, because Solomon sinned. Not because Rehoboam is stupid, but because Solomon did what? Sinned. Now these things, when David prayed a prayer with all the wisdom of Ahithophel, Absalom did not listen to him. Spiritual things are real, but in Christ Jesus, you are immune. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, you are what? Immune. You are defended, you are protected. That's what I want to emphasize. You are. Therefore, when we are boasting about Christ, that's where we start our boast from. We boast that those evil spirits that want to lead us in the way of sin, so that we will remain in bondage, they have no power over us. That force that causes people not to do anything, right or wrong, now is what the Bible calls spirit. So the spirit of iniquity has no power over you. That's what I'm saying. Let's boast therefore in Christ Jesus. Say, the spirit of iniquity
has no power over me
because I have been born of God. Listen to what he said in John. He said, no one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's a reason why John had to explain this one to us. Because, let me read this other one that we'll add together, we'll use for our confessions. He said, as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the power to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John amplified it later and said that the seed of God dwells in everyone who believes in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let's declare. Say, in Christ Jesus, I am above the temptations of the devil. The seed of God dwells in me. The seed of God dwells in me. What I'm saying is very important too. We must use it to remove every temptation. Look, listen. This is Nigeria. I've not been to other countries. Let's talk on natural plane, physically. Nigeria is one of the most corrupt nations on the earth, physically speaking. I'm not prophesying it to. I'm talking about what it used to be, what we are working against. And like one man of God taught me many years ago, that when you see a sin in the world, it usually affects the church that is there. They have to work specially against that. That's why you see sexual immorality was in the church in Corinth. Are you getting my point? Yes. Now, why did I say that? When Nigerians go abroad, they behave. When they come home, they misbehave. It's a spirit. I don't have time to explain. It's a spirit. Those are the things we fight by the power of our confession. Let's declare it again. Say, the spirit of Christ dwells in me.
The spirit of Christ dwells in me.
Because I am in him.
I have the seed of God in me.
Therefore,
therefore,
I am above the sins of the society.
I am above the sins of the society.
You go to a place like United States where they divorce left. Even pastors still do it. And the pastors do it. Congregation, they go join. I saw people giving testimonies of how they received the strength to leave their husband. You say, Pastor Frank, you don't know what they are going through. I agree. I keep on saying, there are things that God does for you. And he'll say, oh boy, see that you tell nobody. It's just between me and you. No, if you testify of it, I'll collect it back. What am I saying? And there's no philosophy. You can't teach a doctrine of, you can teach a doctrine, but I mean, there's no intellectual principle. You can't counsel people enough not to get into it if they're in that society. No. The only thing they can do is what we are doing now. This is what it means to apply the blood of Jesus. Look, this one, all my enemies, I've been warning you. If you shout it like that, the blood will hit you for head. Leave your enemies alone. Leave them alone. This is what you need the blood of Jesus for. That in this Nigeria, I will not be corrupt. Why? Because the seed of God dwells in me. Say that. It's important. You're Nigerian. I will not be corrupt. Because the seed of God dwells in me. It's very important. Say, the seed of God dwells in me. The Spirit of Christ dwells in me. I have been born of God.
I have been born of God.
I have been born of God.
Therefore,
I have the power to overcome temptation.
Just like Jesus overcame temptation,
I have the power to overcome temptation.
Because I am in him.
Because I am in Christ.
Because I am in Christ.
The flesh does not have dominion over me.
Say, the flesh does not have dominion over me.
I have the Spirit of God
dwelling in me.
Because I have believed in Jesus.
And that same Spirit
energizes me,
and I walk above sin.
I walk above temptations.
I walk above the iniquities of the society.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Father, we give you the Lord thanks. It's very important. Just say, Father, we thank you. Just thank you.
You know, he said, I like the way Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, God has not given us the spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and frowning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and of a well-balanced mind and a disciplined and self-control.
I have the spirit of discipline. You must say it. I have the spirit of self-control.
My flesh does not reign over me.
Declare. Just use your own words. Use your own words.
I have the spirit of self-discipline.
I have the spirit of self-control.
My flesh does not reign over me, but the spirit in me triumphs.
You see, it's very important. When the Bible says that you are not born of the will of flesh, don't ascribe anything to your natural. You know, where this is how it is, where we came from. I'm like this because if you find it out like that, walk against it.
When people see me say, you're a Yoruba man, that's why people are so respectful.
You don't know why I'm respectful.
I read in the scriptures, in case you do not know, when I was young, my father was a very nice and quiet person who was not contentious. So I made up my mind to be rough and loud and contentious. And I had my reasons. I felt like people treated him the way they shouldn't because of his nature. Sometimes I fight that until today, I'm telling you. When the policeman stopped me, he was surprised. He said, you stop. I said, why are you shouting at me? What's your problem? He said, my policeman said, stop. Can I see your ID card, please? Deji was looking at me like, what's going on with this guy? The man stopped, put out his ID card, showed it to me, I examined it, gave it back to me. I said, so what do you want? That's not part of the burdens I've been telling you about. That one, when I did it, I knew where it came from.
Because I felt that when I was young, my father would have told me, "Officer, officer, what is the problem? Now relax now." No, no, I told my dad, "Never fight me." I know, I'm telling you. But why am I respectful? Because I read somewhere in the scriptures one day. He said, "Thou shalt bow before the aged and bend your knees before the gray-headed." Ah, I said, it's the word of God. It is not a Yoruba man. That has nothing to do with it. The way, the things I teach my wife when it comes to relating with a husband, you understand, is not based on, I never saw my mother do it. I never saw anybody. But no, I read the scriptures. I read it from the Bible. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, you don't, because when we can say, from our place, people like, you know me now, I'm from this area, that's what we be. You are telling yourself that flesh is reigning over you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, and if you continue that kind of confession, the problems of that place is your point. No, no, it's not as if God is vexed. Now you cause him. You say, you know me, I'm from Nigeria now. You know, amen. With the married more than you keep on saying it jokingly. I'll see you in 20 years' time. You go don't marry three wives too. These are things that when you hear, you say, "Hey, wait! I was not born according to the will of flesh." I was born according to the will of God. And the seed of God dwells in me. Very important. That's what believers, that's how we are to live. That's what it means. You see, we don't just start with the Christ, say, "Oh, I'm triumphant, I can overcome, I can make money, I can be rich, I can be successful." Yes, that is true, that is very correct. But let's start with the thing the devil uses to keep us down. Because no matter the shout we shout in some areas, if the foundation is not there, Omo Oladi. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why we declare it one more time. Let's do it once more. You can repeat after me, you can use your own words. Say, "The seed of God dwells in me. It doesn't matter where I come from naturally. I walk by the Spirit of Christ. I walk by the nature of God. I walk above the temptations of the devil. I walk above the temptations of life. Just like Jesus overcame the devil's temptations, so I overcome." Say, "So I overcome. Because I have a strong spirit. Because I have a strong spirit. Because I have the spirit of boldness. Because I have the spirit of discipline. Because I have the spirit of self-control." Hey, we can't do too much teaching now, but you see, one of the things that make people fall for the temptation of the devil is that they don't believe the word of God. And listen, listen. He said, "Take no thought for the morrow. What you shall drink, what you shall eat, and wherewithal shall you be clothed." He said, "Hey, land is going for some. It's very, very cheap today. You need the money now." Listen, they have been saying land is cheap since I was small. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, since I was a baby. I began saying, "Hey, this land here is cheap." And they will still say it in 20 years' time. So don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. He said, "Hey, I heard that the price of cement is going to go up, which is time to buy." When I came to Enugu, and price of cement was far cheaper than it is right now, there were not many houses being built. But today now, with the cost of cement on my street, construction day and night, like Bishop will say those days, children that have not been born, they will still build houses. So what's your problem? So don't worry about the price of cement. Let it go up. Just make sure that you please God so much that when you didn't have 1 naira, price of cement was 1,000. By the time it comes to 1 million, you have 10 billion. So what difference does it make whether it went up or it stayed down? So he said, "Take no thought for the morrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, or where we thus shall we be clothed." Those who don't know God, those who are not in Christ, that's what they seek. He said, "But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you." Let's give the Lord thanks again. I think we should stop here. Just give the Lord and say, "Father, I thank you because I have the Spirit of Christ. I'm dwelling in him. I'm not moving in the natural realm. I'm walking with you in the realm of Christ." You know, we've talked about what Christ is. It's a realm. It's a realm of walk. It's a realm of existence. It's a realm from which we look at the things of this earth and we see them as God sees them. Say, "Lord, I thank you because you have given me the mind of Christ. Oh, that mind. Oh, it's very important. See, that mind of Christ. I perceive things as one dwelling in the realm of Christ. I see material things and I see the emptiness in them. I see the things that are of real substance in life. I see love. I see kindness. I see self-control. I see the things that please God. They are the things that are more important to me. Father, I thank you because I'm walking with you in that realm called Christ. I'm walking in Christ. In him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. In him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. In him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. Thank God. He said, Father, I thank you because I'm energized by your spirit. That same spirit that walked in Christ Jesus and prevented him from bowing to the devil. That same spirit that walks in Christ Jesus, that walked in him and did not allow him bow to the devil or allow him tempt the Lord his God or take the name of the Lord in vain or use his anointing for his personal gain. That same spirit is dwelling in me. That same spirit that's not vainglorious. That same spirit that's not covetous. That same spirit that is not afraid of tomorrow. That same spirit that's willing to lay down his life. That spirit of humility. That spirit of humility. That spirit that allowed him to pour himself as an offering for sin. That spirit is working in me. That spirit is working in me. It has made me an overcomer. An overcomer in righteousness, an overcomer walking against sin, an overcomer in holiness, an overcomer in self-control. That is what I have in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for it. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, we give you thanks. It's been a beautiful day. You are good, you are kind, you are wonderful, you are lovely. You are our Father. We thank you because you're always thinking good thoughts for us. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Amen. Cherub brethren. I said, cherub brethren, the word. If you believe that, say amen.